history professor at the University of Louisville. I'm a historian of Latin America by training, but I also teach some classes on mass media, including a history of radio class I teach every other year or so. The class covers the history of broadcasting over the past century, from wireless telegraphy to the present day. It's always one of my favorite classes to teach, and I always get an interesting mix of students. Like a lot of advanced history classes, in history of radio, students research and write a term paper on some aspect of radio history. But in this class, they also create a short podcast or audio presentation related to their research paper topic. All the podcasts are shared with the rest of the class, and it's a great opportunity for students to learn about their classmates' research projects and show off and share their creative sides in ways that aren't always featured in a more traditional history course. Students are also told that they will have the option and opportunity to put their podcast on the air on WXOX Art FM, a station that has been a friend and collaborator with this History of Radio course since 2014. Station director Sharon Scott and others have visited this class in person and this semester virtually to talk about the present and future of radio in Louisville. Things have changed since we first started doing this podcast project in 2014. Back then, Art FM was still an internet-only station, waiting on its final FCC approval for over-the-air broadcasting. 2014 was also the year of podcasting's first breakthrough hit, Serial, which began the medium's transition from relative marginality to the mainstream. By 2020, of course, WXOX is an established presence on the Louisville airwaves, and podcasts are a much more well-known and established part of our audio landscape. For students, putting their podcasts on the air is completely optional. Sadly, perhaps only two of them chose to do so this time around, but the good news is they are two really good ones. Colin Britt did his radio history term paper on the important and surprisingly understudied topic of radio and the Vietnam War. Colin's paper went into a lot of detail about the history and impact of the Armed Forces Vietnam Network, as well as Radio Hanoi and various pirate radio operations aimed at U.S. service members during the conflict. His podcast takes the form of a fictionalized radio interview with an expert on the subject. Emma Johansson, on the other hand, wrote her paper on radio's historic links with spiritism, seance, the paranormal, and maybe the paranoid. Her podcast departs somewhat from that focus with a kind of found footage audio involving a haunted space and the final moments in the life of a podcaster. I hope you enjoy these two pieces, great examples of the creativity of our students and how much can be done with audio.
Within the American Forces Vietnam Network. Here he is joining us on the line now. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Now let's just get right down to it. What is this book all about?
Well, essentially, what this book is trying to say is that even though the AFVN had so much going for it, what with its stateside sounding DJs and even the occasional late night progressive rock playlist, it ultimately failed to foster trust with the soldiers listening in.
Now, what do you mean? Are you trying to say that our soldiers couldn't trust the greatest country in the world's military radio?
Well, the remark about the country is a little bit debatable, but yes, that's what I'm saying. There was a prevalence of censorship and misinformation coming from the AFVN. Because of this, soldiers became even more disillusioned and significantly hurt the AFVN's goal of building morale.
Well, if they couldn't trust the AFVN, who could they trust?
You see, that's where it gets interesting. I would argue that the rise of pirate radio was born specifically out of the lack of real information coming from the AFVN. Pirates? Are you talking about that Captain Jack Sparrow looking folk?
No, not at all. Pirate radio is radio stations broadcasting without a license. In the Vietnam War, this primarily manifested through Radio First Term.
Now, Radio First Term, I think I'm familiar with that. Is that that program with Dave Rabbit?
Yes, Dave Rabbit, or Clyde David DeLay, his real name, hosted the program Radio First Term for a mere 3 weeks out of Saigon, playing acid rock and claiming to tell soldiers intel that the AFVN wouldn't tell them. This was also the case for Radio Hanoi.
Radio Hanoi?
Yes. Radio Hanoi, whose female DJs became known as Hanoi Hannah, was a propaganda radio station run by the North Vietnamese Army. Though the desire was to further disillusion GIs, it has been said that even though they sometimes were more honest about information regarding the war effort than the AFVN were.
Now that sounds like a bunch of baloney to me. There ain't no way the AFVN was misinforming their soldiers.
The history is there, Colonel. I can send you some transcripts of veteran interviews if you like.
Well, I don't read, and with that, I have to let you go. That's it for this hour's Journey into the Jungle, where we discuss different topics into the history of the Vietnam War. Here is Creedence Clearwater Revival again with the Traveling Band, only on 101.9 WWW.
Hello, everyone, and thank you all for tuning into this press briefing from our online live stream or through the 105.7 PREY radio station. I'm Sheriff Carol Thieneman, and we're talking to you live from Henderson County Town Hall to discuss the disappearance of Molly McDonald 3 days ago on Friday, July 18th, 2019. Molly, a high school senior, told her parents she was recording the newest episode of her podcast, Molly Talkie, when she was last seen. She said she was going to 1408 Still Meadow Drive to meet up with her friends and classmates, Kyle Chamberlain, Jessica Kechadorian, and David Perdue, to stage a fake ghost hunt and promote the podcast. Unfortunately, the only lead our team has gathered so far is that podcast episode, found by hacking into Molly's iCloud account. Molly's cell phone, her car, and the rest of her belongings are still nowhere to be found. All other data from her account was deleted, and this audio file was uploaded to the cloud at 4 o'clock in the morning the night of her disappearance. In the interest of keeping the public informed of this case, we will play it for you now. Welcome back to Molly Talkie Talkheads. My name is Molly McDonald, and if you're looking for a spook outside of October, then this is the show for you. Before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Airhead Candy. My favorite flavor is White Mystery. It fills me with spooks. Ask your mom or dad to buy some Airheads at your local grocery store to play hard and play delicious. This episode is going to be a little different, Talkheads. Right now, I'm standing in front of Still Meadow's House of Horrors, aka the Comstock Mansion. The Comstock Mansion was originally the first Baptist church in Henderson County. It was built by parishioners in 1854. That is like so 2000 and late. The 13 founders grew their own food, built their own houses, and built this church to practice their religion miles away from anyone. That is like totally off the grid. I'm honestly jealous. But by the time Jeremiah Comstock saw this church in 1912, no one had been inside for years. Comstock quickly bought the church and turned it into this huge mansion for his family to move in. And they did. 3 years later, after Comstock died under mysterious circumstances. Wikipedia says it was tuberculosis, but who knows? But even weirder, when his wife and children moved into the mansion, they were all brutally murdered their first night in the house. OMG! Since then, no one has bought the house or even dare step foot in it. That's where I, and all you tall kids listening, come in. We usually review slashers and celebrity gossip on this podcast, and if you like that idea, subscribe below. But today, we are getting some real-life horror. Okay, time to head inside. Hello? Like, is anyone home? Well, like, I guess not, because they're all ghosts, technically, so... Yeah. Oh my god, it's literally pitch black in here. Talkheads watching at home, turn your lights off right now. Did you do it? That's how dark it is in this creepy old house. Ew, oh my god, I think a bug just flew into my mouth. Or was it a spider? I read that you actually eat 8 spiders in your sleep a year. That's so gross. I actually read that this house is filled with bats. It'd be so creepy if one flew in my face right now. Like right now. Like a bat. Like maybe one like attached like to a string. No? Well, I also read that because Comstock's wife was pushed down the stairs where she fell to her death, you can hear her footsteps on the creaky spiral staircase. Great. Thank God they got that part right. What was that? It got really cold in here all of a sudden. Guys, are you even here? I want to get out of here ASAP, okay? Let's just get this over with. Guys? Oh my god, it's 11:59. They should have been here to set up at half an hour ago. Just edit this out. Jessica? David? Kyle? Are those church bells? The bells were removed years before Comstock moved in. Why are they ringing now? Are you serious? That is not on the list of sound effects I told you to use, David. Where is that even coming from? There's no way this house has Bluetooth speakers. Maybe surround sound, but not Bluetooth. This is not funny. Guys, if you are super scared right now, like I am, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Okay, seriously? That sound is getting closer. I need to get out of here. I know Jessica, Kyle, and David were supposed to scare me, but this is going way too far. Kyle, you are so not my date to prom anymore. And Jessica, the only reason you are even in our prom group is because your dress is so ugly, it makes the rest of ours look so much better. And to all my fans, this was fake in case you couldn't tell, and I knew you wouldn't because you can never tell the difference. You are all the lamest, stupidest talkheads, and you should just buy Airheads candy so I can get my money. Kyle, Jessica, and David never showed up that night. Their bodies were found on our daily search party yesterday and were identified this morning by family members. The only evidence left at the scene was duct tape to Kyle's body, Molly's cell phone. All applications and photos were deleted, save for one undecipherable recording of horrid screaming in the foreground and church bells in the distance.
To Dr. Christine Eric and her students at the University of Louisville for these wonderful podcasts. These programs are produced in conjunction with the History of Radio course, which is taught every other year by Dr. Eric at the University of Louisville. ArtFM is always happy to participate. Up next, you will be hearing new work by composer Jeremy Beck off his album called By Moonlight. You will be hearing 3 pieces for orchestra, beginning with the title track, By Moonlight, followed by Tempest, and concluding with Serenade. These are performed by the Bruno Philharmonic Orchestra, Michael Toms, conductor. Thank you for listening to ArtFM.